You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Thursday on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Guess what that means? It's the Michigan Mailbag. Let's get to it. I'm your host, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And I think that's everything I got to cover at the beginning. And I don't know why it feels weird, but I did it out of order, so it feels weird. Anyway, let's start with our leaders and best. James Crittup at James Crittup 6. With Charbonnet leaving, I feel like it will be a lot harder for Gattis to mess up the rotation again. Is it crazy to think with all the talent in the room that the less complexity, the better? I know this year is unique, but in general, does Michigan have a transfer problem? So that's a two-parter. Number one, I don't know if it was a Gattis or a Jay or a Jim issue as far as the rotation is concerned. Just FYI, I don't know whose fault that is. That said, with Charbonnet transferring, the first thing I said to my roommate, Matt Leach, who you might know is the son of famed quarterback Rick Leach. The first thing I said to him, I said, aside from the typical, like, here's what happened and, you know, whatever, was, honestly, this is probably good for the rotation. So now you have your clear-cut number one in Haskins. You can figure out who's number two between Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. You'll know my pick sometime next week while I'm on vacation. I'll have on Wolverine's Wire a projected depth chart going out. I've already done it. It's just not going to go out until I'm out. But I think that addition by subtraction in that sense. Charbonnet's not the first one I'd want to lose by any means. But nonetheless, it's the reality we live in. As far as the transfer issue, no, I don't think that Michigan has a transfer issue overall. Where I think Michigan has a transfer issue is in the 2017 class. That's the only place where I'm like, that doesn't seem very good. I've gone through this before. I want to go through it again because it's always alarming. So let's go through the 2017 class and I'll tell you what happened to them. All of them. Donovan Peoples-Jones declared early. Aubrey Solomon transferred. Cesar Ruiz declared early. Luigi Villain, transfer. Drew Singleton, transfer. Ambry Thomas declared early. Jordan Anthony, transfer. Chuck Filiaga still there. Woo! Tariq Black, transfer. Dylan McCaffrey, transfer. Nico Collins essentially declared early, though he didn't. You know what I mean? Oliver Martin transferred not once, but twice. Josh Ross still there. James Hudson transferred. Darren Irving Bay transferred. Jalen Kelly Powell transferred. Corey Malone Hatcher medically retired. Omori Samuels kicked off the team. Donovan Jeter, still there. Jeramyn Hall transferred, but I don't believe he's in football anymore. Andrew St. Juice transfer. Andrew Stuber still there. Jamerick Woods transfer. Brad Hawkins still there. Joe Honigford, Philip Paya still there. Quiddy Pay ran out of eligibility. Not technically, but technically. He has no reason to come back for a fifth year of playing. Ben Mason played 4 years. Kurt Taylor, transfer. Brad Robbins still there. So of those who are still there for 2021, and I understand that there's a couple could move on, they just haven't announced it or something. I don't know. I'm not saying that in a, like, oh, here's something that I know. No, I don't know. But Brad Robbins is still there. So that's one. Phil Paya, Joe Honigford, Brad Hawkins, that's four. Andrew Stuber is five. Donovan Jeter is six. And Josh Ross is seven. Chuck Filiaga is eight. So eight out of 30 you managed to retain. And keeping in mind that only one of those, or two of those, Quiddy Pay and Ben Mason, moved on because they played the requisite years. That this class is an issue. You look at some of the other classes, it is not nearly the issue. 2018, I mean, you've got a couple transfers in there. Mustafa Muhammad, Miles Sims, Christian Turner. but for the most part, that staff, that is there. Most of these years are intact. It's that 2017 class. I'm going to look at one more year just to kind of set it up. 2016. Of who of these players transferred? They had 27 enrollees. Brandon Peters transferred. Devin Asiasi transferred. Kareem Walker transferred. Kakoa Crawford. Ron Johnson, who didn't really do anything. Eddie McDoom. Elise Ambassi essentially got. Nate Johnson got. So there's a couple of these that aren't transfers. Kingston Davis got. Steven Spinellis transferred. Michael Dwumfor transferred, but essentially was given a handshake. Devin Gill transferred and is about to transfer again. Will Hart is just transferring. So there are some there. There's like a handful. That one had more of a disciplinary situation. Anyway, I spent a lot of time on that, so we're done with that. Josh Barajadicky excited about how the basketball team bounced back after the loss at Minnesota. That's a mental toughness that hasn't always been there. Do you think that Hunter is hitting a freshman wall, or lower production is just the impact of being more aggressively doubled the last couple games? I think it could be a mixture of both, right? Number one, I definitely think that he's getting a lot more attention, and teams, their game plan is now, hey, we got to go stop Hunter Dickinson, which sometimes is better said than done. Nonetheless, I do feel like he's forcing things a little bit. But it's been two games, so it's not even. And this last game, Michigan just said, we're not even going to make you a focal point. He only took, three shots? So that was clearly what the intention was there. All right, my brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What is your opinion on the youthfulness of Harbaugh's coaching hires? I think it is awesome from a perspective of recruiting. And the fact that you're getting a bunch of guys who are really, really hungry, right? Like the good news when you have like young coaches like that all want to move up is that they're going to be hungrier than a guy that's been around for 40 years. That's just been kind of there. Right. So and I think it's also really good because I think that they can relate more to the players. So if the players feel like who's this dude telling me whatever, then, I mean, I think that you get a little bit more respect from the players in that sense. Our next two in our Leaders and Best are also about the coaching staff. Most of the mailbag, honestly, is. But Trent Noop at Trent Noop, who writes for Wolverine's Wire. Check out his preview of Purdue, which that game's coming up tomorrow. You can check that out on Wolverine's Wire. Your thoughts about a dual defensive coordinator system? I think it's cool. The only thing that I kind of criticize with it is usually because it isn't two defensive coordinators. It's kind of the Mike Loxley, Josh Gattis relationship from Alabama in that you have a nominal defensive coordinator and then you have an assistant defensive coordinator, essentially. But I like it for let me tell you the reasons I do like it. I felt like Don Brown went unchecked because from what I had heard, from the same person that told me what was going to happen with Chris Parchers, with the same person that told me that Nico was had already told the coaching staff he was coming back, from the same person who told me the Don Brown issues to begin with, that multiple defensive coaches were really frustrated at the way he ran things defensively. And one of those things being, obviously, the way the plays were called in, but that he just kind of went unchecked, you know? He didn't want anyone to tell him what to do. He didn't want any input. It was who it is. So I think that having that accountability is great. The only thing that I would kind of wish was different is I wish that that you did have one older voice to be that co-defensive coordinator, kind of like the relationships that Ohio State is set up with Greg Madison, right? First with Jeff Hafley, and then with who was even their defensive coordinator this year? I don't even remember. It's just my brain's fried right now. I'm sure it's the easiest answer in the world, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like having you know the mentor type, having like the one guy seemingly run the show. Oh, Kerry Combs, duh. So that one's two older guys, but I like the idea of having like a mentor type and a younger type and let the younger type run the show, but the older one be like, all right, here's the deal. Finishing us out, weirdly with one question. I don't understand this Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. You're great for the new Michigan coaching staff. I'm going to give it a B, and I'll explain why in more depth. And I know that sounds like I'm copping out, but I'm going to explain why at the top of the next one, because the question is give a grade to every position. So we'll get to that momentarily. But first, one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other important things like mortgage or food. For instance, the fact that I'm not spending a ton of money on my stupid Cadillac means I get to go on vacation in 2 days. And I haven't done it since before I owned that Cadillac. That's where we're at. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the same exact auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? RockAuto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, as promised, Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. Give a letter grade for each position, coach hire / retention. Give a holistic grade for all three phases of the game. What's your non-obvious questions other than play calling for each side of the ball? And what do you feel confident about besides recruiting and Ed Warner for each side of the ball? All right, so that's a lot. I'm going to try to pare it down as much as I can because that's a lot, and I already spent a lot of time up at the top of the show with my whole thing. Nonetheless, all right, so far, let's start with the offensive side of the ball, Mike Hart. Mike Hart getting hired as the running backs coach, that's an A+. Because you have a guy that's an avid recruiter, a guy that's young, a guy that's a Michigan alum, a guy that I think really had a lot of options open to him, a guy that's proven that he can coach an elite level back like he has with Stevie Scott. So that's an A+. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball. Well, I guess you want the retentions. I'm not going to get to the offensive retentions because they haven't announced who, you know, we assume everyone's coming back. I've heard some maybe, maybe not, you know, on some of them. The only one we know is definitely 100% coming back is Josh Gattis. And I give him I'll give him a B, maybe like an A- to a B, because I think that, yeah, this year was really bad, but I think that, and I know every school didn't have spring ball and stuff, but it seemed like the schools that had, you know, Ohio State didn't miss a beat offensively. Michigan did. Penn State, new offensive coordinator, did. And I know that's this one's not new. He's second year, but we consider you've got a lot of young players. It's pretty much the same. Minnesota, new offensive coordinator. It seems like, to me, if you didn't have an established identity there already, you were behind the eight ball. Okay, defensively, Sean Nua's retention, I give that a B-. I think he's a really good recruiter. Hasn't really landed the names to warrant being like he's the guy that you absolutely have to keep. And I don't know what that the production was there. But he dealt with a ton of injuries last year. I thought he did okay 2 years ago. Dealt with a ton of injuries this year. And I think he might be more suited to coach a 3-4. If that's what's coming. Brian Jean-Marie is an incomplete. I don't really have a grade for him, so I'll give him a B- as well. We don't know much about his coaching acumen. Also had to deal with injuries. felt like the linebackers took a step back. Part of that, I think, was the switch from man coverage to zone almost completely in the latter half of the year. Linebackers looked like they had no idea where to be. So that wasn't good. Excellent, excellent recruiter, though. Guy who does know football and has been around football for a very long time. So those are the two retentions. George Hillo, I will give that one a B. Just because he's a young guy. He's been around the SEC. Spent time Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Georgia. Was around a national championship Florida State team. And spent 4 years at Colorado State before 1 year at Maryland. You know what? I'll give him a B plus because you also kind of you took him away from Maryland. And I think that again, you know, Brandon Jennings flipping to Maryland and then his position coach flips to Michigan. So I'll give him that. But seems like a bright mind. Played at Ole Miss. So he's a guy who's played, but it took him a lot longer to get the on-field coaching. Took him until 3 years ago. So I think safeties is probably a safe place for him to be, especially since he played safety. And that's one reason why you get an extra little plus, because you didn't really have a safeties coach last year. And before you had Chris Partridge coaching the safeties. And he wasn't a safety, right? Or at least not at the college level. I don't know what Chris Partridge played, to be honest. He didn't play D1 traditional FBS ball. But then you had, before Partridge, you had Brian Smith, who I think played safety. I don't remember. And you had Greg Jackson, who did. So at least you got a guy there like that. Mo Linguist, A+. Hell of a coach, hell of a recruiter, NFL acumen, incredible. I didn't give you the Mike McDonald one. Mike McDonald, I'm going to go with an A, just kind of based off of the reputation. I don't think that you need to sit there and say, hey, this guy needed to call plays. Look at what the Detroit Lions are doing right now. This isn't like, well, it's the Detroit Lions. This is what happens in football. The Detroit Lions are hiring a defensive coordinator that has never been a defensive coordinator, and they're interviewing offensive coordinators who have never been offensive coordinators. So, I mean, that's how it goes when you get a new head coach a lot of these times. And just because they haven't done it doesn't mean they can't do it. Now, as far as the phases of the game, defense, I give a B+. Offense, I give an A-. Special teams incomplete. I assume that Jay Harbaugh is coming back, and if that's the case, I'll give them a... I think he deserves a B performance just based off of last year in his sole season of being that special teams coordinator. And about the confidence that I feel about each side of the ball, I mean, I don't feel confident about either side until we see something. I won't feel confident, even if it looks great in spring ball, I won't feel confident until they're on the field whipping some you-know-what in the fall. That's the only way I'm going to feel confident. It wouldn't matter if they brought in, you know, Bill Belichick, which, I mean, that name's taken a hit, but you know what I'm saying. If they brought in Nick Saban to coordinate the defense and Steve Sarkisian to run the offense, I still wouldn't feel, like, confident that suddenly it was just going to take off until I see it. That's where I'm at now. Jim at Jim in the North with several as usual. Is McDaniel the one behind the hiring of Linguist, the retention of Nua, and the release of Zordich? Losing Zordich hurts. I don't know what you mean because Ben McDaniel is gone, so I don't really know what you're talking about there. And I just don't understand it, what you're asking me, to be honest. Losing Zordich, I agree, does hurt, like I said yesterday. Nua, I mean, I didn't really hear anyone proposing that he was gone anyway. It seemed more like Brian Jean-Marie was going to be the man out, if anyone, and that didn't end up happening because Florida retained Christian Robinson. I'm having a hard time understanding the Nua positives. What am I missing? The line does not seem better, and it doesn't seem like he has a ton of great recruits on the books. just because he hasn't closed yet hasn't made him any less of a voracious recruiter. I think he will eventually close. I think he's done a really good job on the trail. And the line wasn't that good last year, but again, injuries and everything. Then was it a step back in 2018 from or 2019 from Madison the year before? Yeah, Madison's other world. So, but I think that they have a lot of belief that he can turn that corner, and I think that they probably believe that he'd be really good coaching that 3-4. Final ones from Jim. Are you looking forward to the Disney Plus Star Wars shows coming up? I can just say hell yeah to that. If you had to pick a favorite, would you choose Ahsoka or Rey? And how good was the book? Any other coaching hires on the horizon, you think? Coaching hires on the horizon, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. And again, I just don't know until they announce things. As far as the Star Wars of it all, my favorite character is Ahsoka. I almost said Rey. I don't know why, but Ahsoka is my favorite character in all of Star Wars, period. I like a lot of the badass females in Star Wars. I like Ahsoka Tano. I like Asajj Ventress. If you're asking how good was the book as far as the Ahsoka book, I loved the Ahsoka book. So it's you have to clarify on the book because I have read a lot of Star Wars books and I just bought a couple more for the plane rides if I don't feel like watching stuff on to and from Orlando. Brad G at BradGoBlue85. Andrel Anthony will be wearing the number one jersey. What's your thoughts on who should wear the iconic number? I honestly just don't care. I think all the old traditions, for the most part, save for like the staples, like the Go Blue banner, you know, the fight song, all that kind of stuff, all the real big traditions, the things that a lot of the mainstays of the student section does, those are all sacred cows. Everything else to me I can take it or leave it. That's where I'm at with it. If they want to give him number one, I mean, considering we've had several guys wearing number one, Avery Thomas wore number one. Nico was about to wear number one, and he would have been the number one guy. That's fine. Kakoa Crawford wore number one. It's not a sacred thing anymore, and I'm fine with that. I was up in arms back when Braylon Edwards was up in arms. The Rich Rod era, I'm well past that now. Michigan needs to move on from a lot of the old and get in with the new. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach. Shout out for pronouncing my last name right every time. Lucky guess, are you familiar with Dutch names? I'm just a lucky guess. Do you find it odd to retain a former DC as a position coach and bring in two new hires for DC with no play calling experience? No. Not at all. Some guys deserve that chance to be a defensive coordinator. Some guys had their chance. It just is what it is. Brian Jean-Marie did not light the world on fire as a defensive coordinator at South Florida. So it's not like you had someone screaming you in the face right there being like, you got to take this guy. But no, I don't see it a problem at all. Sometimes younger people are qualified. And younger people have it going on. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3 finishing us out in segment 2. Are Damani and Will out as possibilities for U of M if they commit soon to USC, or do you think they'll continue to pursue the duo and build relationships? I was told that they will continue to pursue them regardless. Will is not making his decision right away. Damani is making it on Saturday. I think Damani is going to USC, but I was told that that will be a continued push. As far as Will, like, does he want to be a package deal guy with Damani? Yes. Is it a deal breaker if he ends up going someplace that Damani isn't? No. He can still make his choice to go somewhere that Damani isn't. He's not letting Damani Jackson make his choice for him, is what I'm trying to say. All right. Segment 2, as always, ran long. But anyway, are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and then there's some... Well, I'm just reading and not thinking. Sorry, guys. Are we ready for some football? Bowl season, gone. College football season's over. Wow. I didn't update my show sheet. Woo. NFL season. We're in the conference championship playoffs. Usually I get to these, and I just ad-lib over the parts that I, whatever. Anyway, you get it. There's only one place that has you covered, one place we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Listen, we got two big games coming up on Sunday. I cannot wait. I just set my one fantasy pick with Trent Noop. I got to do a couple more in DraftKings. I got let down this last week. Anyway, I'm excited. Nonetheless, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, yeah, like I said, like I won. I do this little league with Trent Noop that he invited me to of some of his friends. And first couple weeks didn't go that well. I haven't played fantasy football in years. It's like you draft every week. And then I won a couple weeks ago. And I was like, all right, cool. So I picked the lineup last week, hoping that I was going to just kill it. And I entered like the big like $3.5 million contest, all of that stuff. And I was all gung-ho. I was like ready to do it. And it was like my players were all in position to do really well. And then they just, you know what the bed. At least I'm into NFL more than I'd been, because you all know I usually don't care for the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, Michigan Saltaranis Rex, at Poem123, what's your final take on Lions' new coach, as in the dude, Dan Campbell? I love, by the way, that Justin Rose actually got the Detroit Lions to Photoshop the dude next to the head coach part. I think that's pretty amazing. Nonetheless, I don't know. I think it's good for the sake of he was around when the team was okay, and dipping into not being good, because like he was on the team when it like started out 6-2 and then finished 1-7, I think is how it went. And I'll always remember the like after they were like 6-1 or 6-2. There was a, they had like the NFL on Fox pregame thing interviewing Rod Marinelli. And I always joke with my best friend still, because the person sat down and asked Rod Marinelli, said, first question, is this team for real? And he just looked at the deadpan into the camera and goes, yes. And then they won one game for the rest of his tenure. It was incredible. I don't know. We'll have to see. Again, he's a guy that doesn't have a lot of experience, but obviously was well regarded at in New Orleans. He was going to get a head coaching job this year, probably regardless of whether it was the Lions or not. We'll see if the Lions made the right choice. Ben at BJ33S2014, is Michigan going to have a QB coach, or will Harbaugh assume that role? Good question. I don't know. I would assume, based off of what I heard, that Harbaugh, and this was from like a third source, Harbaugh will be coaching QBs, which I think is something that is necessary. I think he needs something more to do, to be honest, rather than just being the dude up top. That's my own perspective. Chillendamos at Chillendamos1 with McGrone leaving and the possibility of Michigan going to 3-4 defense. Who do you see as the starting linebackers next season? I can tell you right now, I have no idea, because I have no idea how they're going to figure out how they want to run that linebacker thing. Now, I did, again, look for this next week, my projected depth chart for the defense. I have a different one for offense, different one for defense. That'll be going out next week on Wolverine's Wire. That was really painstaking in the sense of I have no idea how they're going to relegate it, because Don Brown had a Viper, which was essentially a safety. But they bulk those Vipers up like linebackers. Like, Kalik Hudson is not a safety in the NFL. He's a linebacker. But Jabril Peppers is a safety in the NFL. They're guys that can go either way. Michael Barrett, I think, has the body of a linebacker. Anthony Solomon is a linebacker. William Mohan might be more of a safety. So I don't know how they'll work some of that stuff out. But I tried to figure out, like, how are they going to, you know, are those outside linebackers? Are they going to put the Wills as more of your typical outside guys? I don't even remember how I ended up finishing it up last night. But the way I would look at it is, if Josh Ross returns, Josh Ross is an inside guy. I think that then you got to find another inside guy alongside him. So Cam would have been that guy. But I think maybe, like, even though Sam is outside, I feel like maybe Ben Van Sumeren could be that other inside guy. And then you've got the speed rush guys on the edges. So Michael Barrett is one. And then maybe, like, David Ojabo is another. Get your defensive end type guy as another one of those stand-up linebackers. That's just a guess. Five alarm at Magic 9. Name, image, likeness goes into law in Florida this summer. California may move their impact date up to match. Essentially, it will become the law of college land. Does Michigan football AD have an aggressive plan to show recruits how they will be able to take advantage once they sign their LOIs? I'm sure they do. Do I know what it is? Absolutely not. No idea. BW at BW2623. Who's the most impressive football coaching hire? Similar question here from Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. What is your favorite of the hires so far and why? And he adds a second question. What is going on with Dylan McCaffrey? I haven't heard anything about the transfer portal. Here's a new rule, apparently. If there's something that's taking a long time, ask it. Ask the question in the podcast thing. If you're like, man, this is, why has Michigan not hired this guy yet? Why has Michigan not done this? Because every week we get a question that gets answered, and the McCaffrey one, there's no reason why you would have thought it would have been answered today, but it got answered today, which makes it that much more fun. But yeah, so we know what's happening with Dylan McCaffrey. He is in the NCAA transfer portal as of today, Thursday. Favorite of my hires so far, without question, Maurice Linguist. I mean, dude has got everything going on. Got the swag, coaching the NFL. Amazing recruiter. I mean, you're already seeing the Michigan kids are turning their heads and looking at Michigan already. He played actually safety, I believe, at Baylor, but he's coaching corners. I just think that one's a home run hire. That one's an A+ to me. Brandon S616, I see a lot of talk that if Harbaugh goes 8-5 or 9-4, he should be fired. Then those same people would say that we'd be lucky to even get close to those records due to how bad we were in 2020. Is this team destined to underachieve no matter what? Where do you think that we should expect to finish? I'd say anywhere between 8-5 or 9-4, to be honest. Listen, this team has some personnel issues. When I look at that defense, I don't see a lot of shoe-ins the way I have the last couple of years where you feel like, well, you know they're going to be good at linebacker. They got Cam McGrone after Devin Bush left. Like, I felt like after Devin Bush left, like, oh, well, they got Cam McGrone, it'll be fine. You know, Chase Winovich, Rashawn Gary leave, you're like, well, they got Aiden Hutchinson and got Quiddy Pay, they'll be fine. I don't have that same feeling right now, just like across the board on the defense. Offensively, I feel like the personnel is all there. It's just all got to come together. So how much is it going to take for that to come together? I think with traditional spring ball, I think with a traditional, with all that stuff, I think then you've got a really good shot, but they have to put it all together. But yeah, of course people are going to think that he should be fired for that. But now you're paying him like essentially to go that. So I think if he goes anywhere beneath that, then we can talk about moving on. I think you just got a whole new nucleus of coaches on the defensive side. Give it 2 years. If it doesn't work out in 2 years, then goodbye. That's where I'm at. Finishing us out, Alan Cox at Cox WA2. With Michigan's past history with Quavarius Crouch, you think that they take a run at him in the transfer portal since they lost McGrone? Also, side note, makes more sense now why Eric Gray and him went to Tennessee. Wink, wink. Yeah, that's all I got there. I would assume they would. I don't know, though. I've reached out for some clarification on him, and I haven't heard back. I would assume that they would because, I mean, you need a guy like that, and Michigan was his number two school. There's a couple guys like that that are in the transfer portal. Michigan was up there. And Eric Gray, I think, his shot at coming to Michigan's done because they got a loaded room, but that is what it is. All right, anyway. That's going to do it for us today. We will have one more show and then not another one until the mailbag next week. So thanks for coming along. We appreciate you. By the way, maybe that show won't be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Saturday. Regardless, it'll be either tomorrow or Saturday. We'll have one more show before I go. That's it. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening.
Peace.